Blog Talk Radio.
If she's not on yet, I'm making some coffee.
Not on yet, I'm calling her now. Dr. Schwartz, this is Stuart. I'm Adrian Berg's producer. We're waiting for your call in. Well, yes. Well, the instructions said to wait, and so you got to wait. So you want to? Well, that's Matt's fault. That's Matt's fault. Okay, good. So what number did you call in? I have no idea whose number that is. What number Matt gave you. So let me give you the right number and we'll get going. Yeah, I'm glad too. So let me give you the right number. You call right in, okay? Okay. It's 818-739-8957. No, that's what I'm saying. Not even nearby. Well, that number is out on the West Coast, but that's where our recording studio is. But we're in New Jersey. Okay, let me get it. 818-739-8957. Okay, thank you. Right.
I'm at, I have my headphones on. I'm ready, Stu. Okay.
She's on.
Dr. Erica?
Yes. Hi.
It's Adrian.
Can you hear me?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Adrian. Great. How are you?
I am.
How are you?
We have gotten together. This is wonderful. So this is going to be
good.
You keep on
cutting out, so I couldn't hear what you just said.
Now, we're not on the air, but we may be hearing. Yeah.
You keep on cutting
okay.
out, Adrian. Adrian,
oh, so,
you keep on
yeah,
cutting
yeah.
out.
Okay. Cutting out on me, too, in terms of
yeah.
sound.
Where are you?
Okay.
Where are you?
You heard that there was a cutting out. Now, are you still hearing that, or can you hear me clearly? She's not hearing me.
I'm unplugging this and plugging it back.
Dr. Erica, are you hearing me now?
Hi, I can hear you.
Hi.
Yeah.
Good.
Can
I'm
you hear
only
me?
I'm talking to you through our phone line, and we're fixing and seeing what's going on there. But while while they're doing that, I'll tell you what I would normally say. So we're not on yet. We usually get a signal when the recording starts, which we will get in a few minutes. We do four segments. They're about 8 minutes and 11 minutes, depending on the segment. And I've read your bio. I know what's going on. What?
You do?
Oh, so you should say something now. Stuart is asking you to say something.
Hello. How are you?
She just said, hello, how are you? I cannot hear you through the phone. Can you hear him through the phone?
No, I can hear you.
Only together. We can hear each other. Right, so he's going to fiddle around. But some of the things that I want to talk about, of course, are your books. I want to talk about hormones, which is why this is so exciting, because with all the different doctors we've had, this is the first time we've dealt with this topic. So we have
You're
to
kidding,
do...
You're kidding, and you had so many doctors.
Yeah, all the time. I was reading it. And the other is, we have to build it up in the sense of letting people understand it because they're not schooled in it, particularly when it deals with aging, that's for sure. The other is that in your bio, you mention a couple of really interesting words. One is that you want to take the fear out of this kind of medicine, but also the arrogance. So if we get a chance, I would love you to... say a little bit more about both of those, okay?
Well, I'm going to ask a question. Adrian,
yeah.
I have a question for you. So your audience is primarily baby boomers?
Wait, Stuart has a message. What is it?
I may have to reboot the connection.
Right.
So if she cuts out, get a number registered.
Okay.
I'm rebooting.
So he's rebooting the connection. And if that happens, it's possible that you'll get cut off. So not while we're on the air, just while we're talking right now. So he just wants to know the best number to call you back right away. So what is that number?
917-952-0400.
Okay. All right, good.
So if we get cut, if she gets cut off.
Right, so if the phone gets cut off, he's going to call you right back.
No problem.
All right. So anyway, you were asking me a question, I think, about our audience. Go ahead.
I asked you if your audience is primarily baby boomers. It's baby boomers?
Yeah.
The
audience is primarily baby boomers. They're also professionals in the field of aging. So they could be any age.
Yeah, so
age
I got to tell you something. So I have to tell you something. Hormones are really a lot more appropriate for people who are like perimenopausal, like 40-year-old women and men, than they are for 60 and 70-year-olds. So I have to tell you that if you want to talk about hormones, I'll be happy to explain it, but I don't want people to start feeling, and they do, that, they missed out because they did miss out.
Okay.
So I would rather you talk, I can talk about that, and I'll move away from the dogs in a second. Sorry.
Right, no, that's not a problem. That's not a problem.
I think the arrogance and removing fear is probably more appropriate for the audience. But I'd be happy to talk about hormones, anything you want. I'm happy to talk about anything you want.
Right. I definitely want to talk about hormones. First of all, we don't know. We say baby boomers, but baby boomers are a pretty big swath of people. Plus, my blog, which is Aging for Beginners, deals with 40-year-olds. deals with 40-year-olds, and they just told me that I'm going from twice a month to once a week. So that means
I love it.
That means I'm getting the younger folks.
Great. Then we'll talk about hormones. I just don't want people to feel, because I see people, you know, they come in to see me and they're like 65, and which is okay. I can deal with that. Start on hormones, but then I have like 75, 80 who want hormones, and the truth is it's too late. So I don't want people to feel badly.
Well, I think that's important to say, too, because we are pitched hormone replacement all the time at our age. So, you know,
Is ridiculous.
I personally have been 70.
Which age? 70. Okay,
70.
Mm-hmm.
I have been pitched that personally. I didn't do it.
Yeah. Where do you live? Where are you?
I live in Tewksbury, but we're soon bi-coastal to Palm Springs. I live in Tewksbury, New Jersey.
Cool.
But we're soon bi-coastal.
Yeah. He told me, yeah.
Yeah.
He said you were in New Jersey. So that's nice.
Right.
I think that if you don't start, you know what, if you start in your 40s, by all means, stay forever. But if you are 70, I don't know. I mean, 70, actually, I would start you. But I get like 75, 80, and I don't know. You know, your body doesn't have receptors anymore.
Well,
the body doesn't remember them. You know, the body doesn't remember hormones anymore.
Right. Now, of course, you have also a book that deals with sexuality. And I want to deal with that as well, because
happily,
most people that I know in any age group, I don't think I know one age group that's not having sex or smoking pot now that it's legal. So
I agree. That's true.
And there's a lot of myths that the desires go down, but anything that has to do with that too. So we have plenty to talk about. Now,
I think you have more than you.
More than a program. I knew
right,
I would.
Right, exactly.
Now,
yeah,
let me
see
if we've. The only thing I always tell everyone is this. In between each segment, we have a chance to talk for a minute and see what we really want to bring out in the next segment, right?
Yes.
And the other is, so far we haven't had problems, but at the end of every segment is music. You don't know when it's coming, and I do. And and what they do there is they go to commercial. So if you hear music and you're talking, just wrap up so that they don't cut you off.
It hasn't happened,
and I don't think it's going to happen, but it's possible. Is there any website other than Amazon with all your books that you want me to send people to?
My office, I mean, it's called ES Health. That's in the city. ES, Erica Schwartz, Health. So that's the only other website, and it also has Instagram and Facebook. So let's just say
yeshealth.com,
and the books are all on Amazon.
Right, and you're in New York City, Manhattan. Because it's funny, I didn't
I'm in Manhattan. No, I'm on Fifth Avenue. I'm on Fifth between 56 and 57.
Okay. Very good. All right. So we are going to start.
Okay.
And we're going to switch a phone now. Okay. Do you need to test the music still? Okay. I'm putting the phone down for music testing, and we'll be right back. And you'll see, I'll be introducing you, and we will start with... We're going to start with the hormone issue because I think it's fascinating and because we do have the younger folks. Okay, hold.
Great.
Yeah, he's going to sit down. Not the first one. He's going to sit down. I also will tell you that even the words integrative medicine, we may want to ask what that's about, okay?
I think whatever you want. I think also the thing about eliminating fear from the healthcare system is totally appropriate for the audience. Fear drives everything, sadly.
You know what? Because it's something that I so much hear passion in your voice about it, I will start with that. Yeah, definitely. I'm going to start with that, and you'll see how we go. So we are ready.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And it's the fountain of truth about aging, but, you know, a lot of people talk about something called anti-aging. I'm certainly against that because, you know, if you're not aging, where are you? 6 foot under. But the fact is that maybe, it's true, maybe we can reverse. And if you're hearing that delightful laugh, you're hearing the laugh of Dr. Erica Schwartz, who is my guest today. You'll find all about her, because you're going to want to, on ES, which stands for Erica Schwartz, health.com. But you probably already know her, because she has written so many books, The 30-Day Natural Hormone Plan, The New Hormone Solution, and we will be talking about hormones. But we're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive right now about something that Dr. Erica is very passionate about, and that is the fear factor in healthcare. And I just want to tell you, Dr. Erica, that I'm leaving for California for something. It's a big, big conference, and actually President Clinton is going to be there, and it's about patient safety. I think we're all terrified of the healthcare system.
Right.
And
sadly,
you're 20 years in the forefront of helping us get over that. So tell us a little bit about that and your take on it.
Well, so I wrote a book. It's called Don't Let Your Doctor Kill You. And I started writing it in 1999, and it eventually finished it. And we published it. It was published in 2017. But the thing is that as a physician, I'm a healer, and I actually went into medicine trying to help people heal. And it turns out that our conventional system is actually about fear-mongering, and it's not about healing. So it took me a long time to actually come out and explain to people that fear is probably the worst thing that you can feel when you walk into a doctor's office, when you walk into a hospital, when you walk into any medical facility. Because if you're afraid, you're going to allow people to make mistakes, and you'll basically fuel the fear even more, and eventually you'll get into trouble. And I think that it's very difficult because there is a whole mentality that we come from, which is doctor knows best, and people believe that the doctor knows better what's going on inside your body than you do yourself, which is, if you think about it, completely irrational, because common sense would dictate that you know what's going on inside your body, and you could, if you could communicate it correctly and work with a doctor as a partner, as somebody who listens to you, you'll do well. But if you listening to what the doctor has to say, who doesn't know who you are and doesn't live in your body, you're going to make mistakes. But we're so petrified. People are so petrified of doctors and of what the fear of dying, the fear of cancer, the fear of it being incapacitated, that they will follow anything a doctor says.
You know, Dr. Erica, there's a couple of things. Yeah. Couple of things come down the pike here. Number one, we're told statistically that doctors today have no more than 15 minutes to see a patient. And they have to toe the mark so that they can't know you. They don't know you. And supposedly all this telehealth and digital health is supposed to tell the computer who you are so the doctor could know and use the 15 minutes a little bit better than asking you about your background, your sleep habits, and all that. Do you think that's working? Do you think the new age of technology is giving the doctors more time with the patients, or is this idea that you know yourself better is even more important now?
I think that it's even more important now that you know yourself better, that you don't turn over your whole life to someone, in this case a computer, who's going to tell a doctor who doesn't know anything about you. And, you know, when you say about the 15 minutes, it's probably less than 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it behooves you to protect yourself. And protection doesn't mean an adversarial relationship in my mind. Protection means feeling good about yourself and having faith that your gut is telling you a lot more and a lot better than the doctor is going to tell you. So if you can balance that with the information the doctor has to offer you, you're probably going to come out okay.
You know, I always ask myself when something is a program or, as you say, fear-mongering. Que bono,
mm-hmm.
Who benefits? Who benefits from making us afraid? Is it the pharmaceutical industry, the poor pharmaceutical industry that everybody bashes? Is it the nutraceuticals? Is it the lawyers that have made the doctors, I'm one of them, afraid not to give you 1,000 tests because maybe they'll be liable? I mean, where is this culture of being afraid coming from?
I think you just named pretty much at least 3/4 of the reasons. Yes. It's because somebody's making money off of your fear. Because the moment people become empowered and they realize that they own their own lives, they own what's going on inside their bodies, then they may not be so quick to allow the outside world to come in and scare the living daylights out of them and make them do tests, take medication, supplements, whatever it is, that may not work for them. They may not be the right thing for them. So, yeah, everybody stands to gain from our being scared. I mean, look at the stock market today.
Yes, for sure.
It's all about fear. It's all about fear.
No doubt.
And the thing is, you know, at the core of it, it's fear of dying. Well, we're all going to die. So the thing is, we might as well not miss out on living. And the healthcare system is actually such a scare that you're missing out on living because you're going from doctor to doctor, from test to test. God forbid you should miss something, and you're not living.
You know, this is so true, and I just had a very sad story being told to me, and that was about a friend of mine whose mom passed away. It was very difficult for me to hear the story simply because, Dr. Erica, I'm exactly the same age as this woman, and she had cancer, and she went to so many different states of the U.S., so many different doctors, and basically spend the last year of her life not living it.
Right.
So one of Dr. Erica's many books is Don't Let Your Doctor Kill You, and she does talk about corporate greed. She talks about all the reasons that you can rise above this and how to do that. So we're talking to Dr. Erica Schwartz, and you can look and see what her practice is like. It's in the middle of Manhattan, but she has so much to contribute to us. Before we close our segment, I wanted to go to one other word that you use a lot. Because when you deal with integrative medicine, you really are looking at a lot of fields at the same time. And yet you say, you don't only want to take the fear out of medicine, you want to take the arrogance. Now, is this something that women doctors are now promoting, less arrogance because we seem to have a different business and professional style? Or is this across the board? I really want to pin down, what do you mean by arrogance, and how do we as patients get that antenna that a doctor is arrogant?
Well, everybody knows physicians are arrogant. So it's physician
we
arrogance.
We thought it was only
and, you know,
surgeons.
By the way,
we thought it was just surgeons.
No, it's all of them. But anyway, this is the thing. Physician arrogance, I mean, you know, the number 3 reason why people die, the cause for mortality in the United States today, is medical mistakes, right? Medical errors. So there is, this doctor who's been researching from Johns Hopkins for the past 30 years, what causes medical errors? And invariably, he comes out with the same answer, which is physician arrogance. So physician arrogance is deadly. It's deadly. So,
now, is there anything going on in schools that kind
with
this issue?
Yeah, of course, because medical school is really a cult, and what it does is it brainwashes you to turn out to think the same way as everybody else who comes out of medical school. And one of the ways you think is you distance yourself from the patient. You don't care about the patient anymore. You just care about whatever, I don't know, it's not about making money because doctors don't make a lot of money anymore.
They know.
It's not that. It's just a culture of arrogance and the acceptance and acceptability of arrogance, like what you said, surgeon, right? I've heard it a million times. You know, I don't care. He's a great surgeon. He doesn't have great, or she doesn't have great bedside manner, but it's okay. It's okay. He's a great surgeon. Well, no, if he is arrogant or she is arrogant, she's going to kill you. So don't. Arrogance will kill.
You know, what's so fascinating about this, and in our next segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about what we can do for ourselves and whether or not hormones, and I'm getting, I'm 71, I just turned 71, everybody knows that.
Good.
And I'm
great.
Very, very, very vain. I'm very vain.
Good.
I have to tell you.
You should
I spent, yesterday I was on for an hour on with a new company that's dealing with different kinds of beauty products, and they're looking at polarities and electricity. New cutting
right.
edge things. Most
right.
people would tell
right.
them they're crazy, leave me alone. But no, I want to hear about it. So I
of
keep
course.
Getting I keep getting solicited for free because
mm-hmm.
they want to be on the show. And that's the worst thing you can do for me. The minute you say that, you're not on the show. About hormone injections and hormone therapies and hormone this and that. And you really
mm-hmm.
are. You really are the expert in this one. And I want to bring out what you had told me about the
mm-hmm.
age differentiation, and what
mm-hmm.
we can expect from these kinds of therapies at different ages, and what they bring to the table, what they don't. So nobody go away, because this is cutting-edge stuff right from the doctor who tells you the truth. That's why she's on Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, Dr. Erica Schwartz.
Thanks.
We shall be right back.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, hold one second. Okay, we're going to hold 1 second, and I'll be right with you. See if we can even...
No problem.
This was just wonderful. We'll be right back.
You are wonderful.
That's great. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Dr. Erica?
Hi.
Hi. So we just got a call from our daughter who's in California, and she's got to put her pet down, so she's hysterical. So we're dealing with that. So we'll be off that phone in a minute, and we'll continue. Okay. So
but don't worry. Do you want to postpone it and do it some other time? Listen, I love dogs, so I know.
No, this is a cat, but that's okay. No. We'll continue. So just hang
do
in.
Do you want to do it later? I could do it.
No,
later.
No. Hang on. I'll see what Adrian wants to do.
Sure.
She's on the phone.
I'm so sorry. Oh,
yeah.
God.
So hang on.
I know.
Second, okay.
Yeah.
Just hang in.
Yeah.
Hang
sure.
On.
No problem.
Yep. Okay.
Bye. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Erica.
I'm so sorry.
Yes,
oh my
and you
God.
Know
how
what?
Old is the, how old is the cat?
7 years, but I'm going to use this.
Hi.
You're going to see. Go
oh
ahead.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Hi.
You were
Hi.
Ready. You're setting the clock.
Wait, why is she does she have to put it down? What's wrong
patient
with
her? Patient error. I mean, Dr. Arrogance. And that's why I want to talk about it.
Are
you
kidding
me? I'm not kidding you.
I believe it because you know what? I just had to put down on my dogs too. She was 7 too.
Right. And wait till you hear it because I'm going to do it on the air because I think it's really important. And it's an amazing. I mean, it's amazing. And I do want to talk about hormones. I'm not going to let that go.
That's okay.
But
listen, I can come back and we can talk hormones whenever you want.
Yeah, this is something. By the way, you should know that although I have a brave voice because I have to be on the air, I'm crying too. I know how much she cares.
Listen,
I love the little cat and
crying.
The whole story.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, we are ready.
I just
we have
to put my dog down.
Yeah, we have to be quiet. We have to be quiet.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that don't I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And sometimes art, and I hope that this show is art, imitates life, and sometimes it's not in a good way. Today we're speaking with Dr. Erica Schwartz. She is a wonderful doctor in integrative medicine with a terrific number of books out on your Don't Let Your Doctor Kill You, The New Hormone Solution. Just go on Amazon, you'll find pages. But guess what? In the midst of our segue from one segment to another, I got a terrible call. Dr. Erica, from my daughter, who's 28 years old and has a cat.
Oh, God.
Cat's
oh,
7
God.
Years old. The cat has to be put down. Why?
Why?
Just what you were talking about in our first segment. Dr. Erica.
What
she
happened?
She took the cat in for teeth cleaning. And the
oh,
doctor,
my God.
And the doctor hurt the cat so badly, the strength of his teeth cleaning, that the cat
oh,
is dying. The cat went comatose.
Now, no, it was from the anesthesia.
And
the
from
anesthesia.
And
oh,
the
God.
Anesthesia. Now, here's the thing.
Oh.
You bring in a human being, an older adult, your parent, maybe with dementia, maybe, and you trust. And you trust so much. You bring in your beloved animal.
Yeah.
Cat Fritz. And you trust. You go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You see everything is going to be fine. And here's a small procedure. Here's a
yeah.
procedure. Of a teeth
oh
clean. This
God.
Wasn't a sick cat. This
yeah.
was to enhance the cat because she loves him so much. And believe me, she's in the
oh
art.
God.
She doesn't have a lot of money. So if she puts money into the teeth of a cat, you know how much
sure.
you love. And
of
she's
course.
Hysterical now. All of a sudden.
Of course.
In her
it's
young
horrible.
Life, death. So,
you know,
so
it doesn't matter if it's
yeah.
a human or it's an
it
you know,
it,
a pet.
It's great.
It doesn't matter.
So
yeah.
Don't Let Your Doctor Kill You is a funny title
mm-hmm.
because Dr. Erica is funny and she is lively. But you know what? It's also possible. It's also
truth.
Possible. And here we had it. So I feel so bad for my audience even because all of them
I'm
love
so sorry.
Pets.
Sorry.
And
yeah.
they're feeling it. They're feeling it right now. But I had to express it because I'm crying myself.
I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry.
But we push on, we move on, and now we go to very funny hormones. Not moaning, but hormones.
No, no, wait. You know what? Wait.
Yeah.
Actually, there is a point to be made about this. You know,
yes.
there's something to learn from it. That, you know, your daughter did the right thing, took the cat in to have her teeth cleaned. So you're doing something. You're doing a colonoscopy. You're doing, you know, an endoscopy, whatever you're doing,
an elective
test, because
procedure.
You're trying to keep somebody, a procedure
yeah.
to keep someone healthy. And nobody talks about the dangers associated with it. Nobody talks about the risks associated with the procedure.
True.
And if we understood that there is no such thing as a procedure without risks, maybe we wouldn't do all these procedures.
You know, there's a funny joke. A simple
mm-hmm.
procedure is something that somebody else is having. But
exactly.
Every time
that's
a doctor
true.
Says to me, oh, it's a simple procedure.
Right.
And I'll
and
tell
you
what.
It's the doctor
yeah.
will say it's fine. It's okay. The healing time is great. You'll be back at work or whatever tomorrow. And this is the interesting thing. The doctor will be back at work tomorrow.
Right.
You may not necessarily be there.
True.
So this
yeah.
is the point that we never understand.
We've all
yes.
had it. It's happened to all of us, old and young.
Yeah.
You know, even skincare. I talked about the skincare to you because
right.
They take everything off your body. Oh, it's a skin tag. Don't worry, we'll take it off.
Don't take it off your body. Your body
right
knows
off.
How to heal it. Right.
And we'll shave it right. No.
No.
So
leave it.
You're absolutely right. And it is more important as we age because there's more things we want to, we're told we must do. To age successfully. And,
well, so this is the
yeah.
thing. Where is it going to take us? What's going to happen if we don't do it? And this is where the fear comes in. If you don't have the colonoscopy, you're going to miss colon cancer.
Right.
right? That's
yeah.
what you're told. Now,
yeah,
as you get older, the older you get, the older you will get, right? Statistically
yeah.
speaking, and I hate to use statistics.
1.6. For every year you live, you'll live, depends on the statistics, 1.3 or 1.6 additional years.
Exactly. So this is the thing. You think about it. What is going to happen if I don't have this test and I don't take the risk associated with it. And what's going to happen? How about we focus on eating well, exercising, enjoying our lives, dealing with stress, being contributors to society, and enjoying each other? And then guess what? You're actually having a life. You enjoy a quality of life.
Well,
instead
you also,
of just,
you also live longer. You know, well,
right,
what,
exactly, exactly.
One of the things I love, and I'm I love it, and I'm stumped. I work with a group called Metabesity. They're really the researchers on longevity and aging.
Uh-huh.
And these are the guys, I don't even understand half the things they say, but it's okay. These are the guys from Albert Einstein, and they're splicing
right.
mice, and they're doing all kinds of things. So all of these are to get an extra year or two,
maybe
up to 30
or 10
in longevity. And
right.
yet, when I ask them, what is the most important thing you're doing? They say, and I have to give them credit, it's not the research, it's not the medicine. It's just the exact list that Dr. Erica just told us. Eat right, get exercise, rest, have great relationships, have life purpose. And they all say, if we did that, we would do better than two-thirds of the medicine that's out there. So,
right.
but we don't. What I'm stumped about, by the way, I'm looking into it now, is why we don't do it. We know it, and we don't do it. And maybe you have a
well,
take
because,
on that.
Well, because, you know why? It's our, yeah, because it makes you accountable and responsible. And it's a lot easier, the way we think culturally, to turn over responsibility to somebody else. I mean,
it
I
is.
Deal, you know, my patients are very evolved. They're people who actually take responsibility for their own lives. They take responsibility for the outcome, and they do well. They're healthy. They stay healthy. They contribute to society. They enjoy their lives. Now, when somebody comes in who's somebody new in the practice and has not been exposed to our kind of medicine and our way of thinking, they come in and they say, well, this doctor said I should do this, and I'm doing this, or I'm not doing it, and this is what I was diagnosed with. And it's putting labels on people. It's taking away accountability for your own life from people. And so people just like turn on, it's like the doctor knows best syndrome, right?
Well,
whatever
have,
they say,
let
it's their,
me ask
you
about
but
your
it's
own
your
practice.
Life.
I want to, this is not something I was expecting to ask, but I think from hearing you and your passion about this, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
So as a doctor who feels this way, how
mm-hmm.
do you empower your patients? Because we do come like little sheep. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
What do you recommend for your patients in
self-education,
or you tell me?
I teach it's always about education, right? Education is the key, but it's about telling the patients that, first of all, you know better than I do what's going on inside your body. I defer to you. I have to listen to you, because if I don't listen to you, I'm going to make a mistake. I'm not going to do it right. And you make the decisions. And, you know, people come in and say, well, I'm not the doctor. That's great, but you are the person who lives in that body. And you know what? You know better. You know better what matters to you, what's important to you. Is it important to you to fall into the system and go from doctor to doctor and test to test and fear, you know, of dying or missing some cancer? Or is it more important for you to spend the day with someone you care about, or, you know, go do work for someone that needs your help? And when people start hearing that, they start actually becoming empowered and saying, wait a minute, I never thought of it that way. And when I start thinking of it that way, I'd rather hang out with my kids or hang out with my mother or my cousins or whatever. Take a class, you know, do some Pilates, learn how to meditate, do stuff that is part of living rather than taking
amazingly
you to the fear
wonderful,
of dying.
It's an amazingly powerful and wonderful message. It's a message that we rarely hear. And we thank you for it. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit more. Now I want to talk about sex. We'll be back in just a minute. That gets everybody. Don't you go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, good. I put the phone back down again, and we can start our third segment.
Oh, hi. My God, your poor daughter. Call your daughter.
Okay, 10 seconds.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. All right, a little bit of housekeeping now before we go back to our stellar guest. You all know that we have a blog, and it is Aging for Beginners, published by Bottom Line Personal. Our latest, the latest is OK Boomer. Are you happy about the fact that teenagers have T-shirts that say, OK Boomer, have a bad day? So I like their entrepreneurship, but I'm not too crazy about the fact that they think we ruined the planet. Take a look at the latest blog on that one. We're also going weekly instead of bi-monthly. It's been very popular, particularly with people who really are beginning to age, people in their 40s. But I'm told now that lots and lots of folks in their 30s are thinking about aging, and actually they're concerned about it. They have bought into the ageism culture, and we are trying to spit that one out. So, Aging for Beginners. The other is go to our radio show website, generationboldradio.com, Generation Bold Radio, and now I am sending you a newsletter every single Monday on what's going on in the field of aging, what our next guest is, what our next blog is, and all the conferences that are around that might be useful to you, whether you're in the field of aging or whether you're a consumer of aging, as we all are. And right now, speaking of consumerism, we have a little bit of a store. So let's hear about our shop on Generation Bold Radio.
Hooray, our Generation Bold store is up and running. Just visit our website, generationboldradio.com, for access to unique products and services like luggage forwarding for your next trip, gorgeous Brazos canes and hiking sticks, Wander Club charms to commemorate your every adventure. I handpicked everything in the store to add fun and ease to your life. It makes a great gift, it's priced right, and it's of the finest quality whatever has been selected. All these items truly enhance my life, and I want you to discover them as well. Visit GenerationBoldRadio.com and see for yourself.
Okay, and thank you all, because you've been buying those Wander Club charms. You're going all over the world. The charms are $4, and every time you buy one, a child who is hungry gets a meal. So this is really a win-win for everyone. We're going back to Dr. Erica Schwartz, and if you want to know more about her, and I think you probably do, you can take a look at ES, standing for Erica Schwartz, eshealth.com. And at Amazon, she fills up the whole website there, the 30-day natural hormone plan, the new hormone solution, and of course we've been talking about don't let your doctor kill you. So Dr. Erica, let's talk a little bit about hormones. You are an expert. You've written many, many books on this. And when I mentioned it during our pre-talk, you said, you know what, if you're over a certain age, it doesn't do much for you. And yet we are pitched hormone therapy all the time. First, let's start. What is hormone therapy? What do you mean when you say natural hormone plan for those who can use it?
Well, hormones, because you don't see them, you don't know what they are. So,
right.
They actually are like they run the whole orchestra. They're the conductors of the orchestra of what goes on inside of our bodies. So they coordinate how organs work, how cells work. They coordinate the entire system. So we're talking about, as we go into menopause, when we're young and healthy, we are fertile, we are very interested in sex. We don't have wrinkles. We feel great. We lose weight fast. We don't need to sleep a lot to feel rejuvenated. And we get all that's hormones. Then when we get older, we go into menopause or andropause for men, we start losing the hormones. We stop ovulating. We're no longer fertile. And what happens is that we start getting wrinkles. We can't lose weight. We have problems sleeping. We get, you know, hot flashes, night sweats. Those are like just symptoms of loss of hormones. But we're talking about three hormones in particular, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, which are gonadal or like sex hormones. There's a symphony of hundreds, if not thousands, of hormones, and they all work together. But when you lose any hormone or you start losing the sex hormones, everything starts going awry. And as we get older, without the hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, thyroid, adrenal, etc., what happens is that the risk of chronic illnesses goes up. Heart disease, Alzheimer's, cancer, all of this starts going up. Osteoporosis. Anyway, if you put the hormones right back in the right way with bioidentical hormones, meaning human identical hormones, hormones that are identical in the molecular structure to what our body made when it was making it, you will continue staying healthy and you decrease and mitigate the risk of chronic illnesses that goes up as you get older. The problem is that the medical profession is divided, is crazy, and unwilling to help women in particular feel better, because it's easier to sell drugs for diseases than it is to put someone on hormones, and specifically I was saying natural hormones like the ones we make, and keep them healthy. I've been working with bioidentical hormones for 25 years. I've been on them for 26 years, and I feel great. I just
turned
70.
I have two questions. One is something that's probably on the minds of everybody listening, and the other may be a little bit esoteric. Let's take the first one. When I was 50, started menopause, and I had hormones, and it was the best years of my life, I have to tell you. I was beautiful, I was sexy, I was productive, every single way you could think of. And then they said, oh, it's going to cause cancer. And they did a study, and they took my hormones away.
Right.
And then, and since then, I've had a never-ending quest for better skin, because those hormones made my skin go. That was true. So, but my sex drive never changed. It didn't. It was always what it was. I won't say it's the best, but it was no different than when I was 18.
Because you love your
started
guy.
Started that way.
The two of you are a good match. That's it.
It was fine. But it was scary, because they said hormone. It was cancer. So are we talking about something completely different, or was that a bogus study?
It was a study that was done with the hormones that, as it turns out, I mean, they were synthetic hormones. They were not bioidentical, but it doesn't even matter. The study was wrong. It was badly done, badly designed. They got scared. The government, it was a pharmaceutical company that sponsored it. The government was in bed with them, so they got really scared when the results didn't come out right. And they just literally wiped out the entire hormone, the belief in hormone, the trust in hormone. OBGYNs, who were the ones who always give people hormones, were given wrong information. And nobody cared about the 7 million women that were taken off hormones and left to fend for themselves.
That was wonderful.
Of course, and I probably saw the other 6 million. Anyway, but this is the thing.
That's important. That's important to know, because
this is the thing. The study.
Young women may not remember this. It's 20 years ago. Young women may not remember this, but I remember.
Right. Of course, it was in 2002, and this is the thing. Since then, it's been proven that it was wrong. It's been proven that hormones protect you from cancer. They decrease the risk of heart disease and Alzheimer's. All the data that keeps on coming out, including the revisiting of that old study, shows that the people who are on hormones have the same morbidity as those who were not on hormones. So there was the whole thing was a mess, and there was the reaction, like everything else, fear. It's always fear, right? And it was a reaction that really put a lot of women off hormones. And, you know, I still have people, well, I don't much anymore, but I did for about 15 years. Women came in and said, I'm afraid of taking hormones. What do you think? And I said, well, I obviously think that hormones are great for you. I have all the data to prove it. I've been writing about it, giving talks to doctors about it. And the thing is that hormones are great for you. It's just doing the right hormones, the right balance, and not working with some quack who doesn't know anything about it. That's basically it, like everything else.
So I want to refer people. Look, this is one of those things that Dr. Erica herself would say, learn. Learn and don't always go with the herd. And one way to learn about many of these things is through her books. And this is so simple. Just go to Amazon. It's so simple. The Hormone Solution for Your Daughter is one that I'm actually going to be reading because she's so much on my mind now, and she's getting married next year. And for those of you,
congratulations.
We're 44 years apart. I was 44 years when I had her, so you can imagine how precious my daughter is to me, as well as my son.
Mm-hmm.
But when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the things that Dr. Erica ticked off, hormones and Alzheimer's, hormones and cancer. And I want to talk about how this fits in with a whole new program and trend that's going on in medicine called looking at age-related diseases, not in silos, not one at a time, but as diseases of aging as a whole. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so this is going great.
I
now,
love the music.
We had a commission. Now, this is our last segment, and it's a little bit shorter than most of them. And, Stuart?
Okay. Hello? Adrian?
I had to tell something to Stu. Is there anything that you want to bring out in this last segment that we didn't talk about? I set it up to talk about something interesting, which I'll explain to you on air. But is there anything that you want me to cover that we missed?
I don't know. You know your audience. I'll be happy to talk about anything. You know that.
Good. All right. Then I know just what we want to do.
Sure. Whatever you want.
I'll just tell you beforehand a little bit. There is a movement called Metabesity. It's called Metabesity, and I'm very involved with it. And in fact, there are conferences going on, and I'm helping them with their conferences. But these are the researchers in fields of aging.
Mm-hmm.
And what they say is that metabolics and inflammation are two things that if we deal with and treat, we're really dealing with preventing or delaying all of the diseases, even the cognitive ones. However, you just said exactly the same thing about hormones.
Right.
And that's not on the list. And I want to discuss that a little bit, okay?
Okay,
because maybe it should be an addition to this.
Of course it should be. It should be on the top of the list.
But it isn't.
You know why now?
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Sure. Stu, we are ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. I'm going to do a little bit more housekeeping here. I'm off to California for a very interesting conference that I've never attended before. They're actually flying me out there because they really want the public to know what they're doing. And it is called the Patient Safety, Science, and Technology Conference. And one of the speakers is President Clinton, and it's not easy to get him. So this is a conference that they would like to make into a movement. and that is for greater patient safety in hospitals, in hospice, in assisted livings, and so on. It really is an issue. Now, we've had on our show Monica Sternin, and for those of you who don't know, every single show is archived, and if you'd like to hear Monica, you should. She is one of the initiators of the positive deviance movement, doing things and finding solutions that work in a world where the problems are there and nobody says there's a solution. And it's a protocol, and she's brought that to hospitals all over the U.S. to stop Mercer. Now, when I read her book, Positive Deviance, and I began to interview her and look into this, it did scare me, because the amount of infection in and lack of patient safety in hospitals is rampant. That's why they need solutions. And it was a pity when I saw how few hospitals actually had the solution. So I'm going down there. I'm going to be looking at patient safety. I'm going to be looking where the problems are. Our guest, Dr. Erica Schwartz, says, don't scare people. I won't scare you, I promise you, but I will inform you. So that's what's going on here, and it's really all because of you. If you were not listening, believe me, they would not be paying for my beautiful hotel and getting me out there to California. They know that I've got a voice here, and it's only because you've got ears. So thank you all so much. All right, now we go to Dr. Erica, another conference doctor. There's a conference called Medobesity. It's usually doctor to doctor, researcher to researcher. Takes place in Washington, D.C. It's something that's very dear to my heart. I'm actually creating the conference for them this year. And the FDA comes, the Federal Drug Administration, Drug and Food Administration. So it's a big deal. And what these doctors and researchers say is, if we looked at inflammation, if we looked at metabolics, we could actually delay or prevent all of the diseases of aging at once, meaning cancer and meaning Alzheimer's, cognitive and physical. Now, you just said exactly the same thing, but you said hormones. Now, are we missing something here? Are all these three things that we should focus on? And why are we missing hormones if we are?
So there are so many pieces, and I think we're starting to finally look at the entirety of it all and realizing that one thing, one variable, one disease, one treatment is not what's going to make things better, but rather everything has to be put together. So, yeah, diet, exercise, lifestyle, stress management, sleep are crucial. You can't get away without them. You're not going to get people better. So the problem is that hormones should be part of it, because without your hormones in balance, you're not going to be able to sleep. Without your hormones in balance, you're not going to be able to move, because you're going to be tired, and you're not going to be able, you're going to become sedentary and gain weight, and you're going to start getting diseases of aging. And the reason hormones are not at the top of this list is because of the debate and the whole arguments against hormones, which have never been proven right. And I wonder if this had been research that, you know, if this was about men, they probably would have figured it out a lot faster, and hormones would have been involved a lot faster, a lot sooner. But the problem is that they're still not there, and they should be there. The reason that the scientists and the researchers are staying away from them is because the money that support research will support, you know, adding an ear on a mouse, you know, creating more cartilage, and, you know, research on telomeres and things that, honestly speaking, are not controversial. Hormones are controversial. And the problem is that I can tell you from where I'm sitting, 25 years into working with hormones, doing the research in a clinical setting, that my patients, and we're publishing an article in one of the main medical journals soon, we've reviewed 30 patients in the practice who've been there for at least 20 years on hormones. Not one of them has heart disease, Alzheimer's, cancer.
You know,
they're all healthy.
This may be, and I do this on the air, maybe this is a panel that we're missing here. Very, very seriously, because for those of you listening, you may have not heard Dr. Erica. She ran through a word called telomeres, and she said telomeres is not controversial. Well, telomeres is the shortening, actually, of your cells. And it's what causes death. It's what causes senescence, which is cells that no longer function and they don't reproduce anymore. They get shorter and shorter as we age. And where there's a lot of research being done is what we call, may your telomeres be long and prosper. We make a joke. But that means that you're going to live longer. Now, here's the thing. It was controversial. The people who started that kind of research were called immortalists, science fiction, everything you could think of to put them down. Now, of course, they're the big stars of longevity.
But Elizabeth Woodward got a Nobel Prize on them. And the truth, and you know, because she figured it out, which
yeah.
is great.
Yeah.
But the thing is that the reality is that supplement companies that are making these enzymes supposedly that stops telomeres from shrinking and getting smaller don't really work. We have no proof of it. There's no scientific proof for it at all. And yet they're selling millions and millions of dollars of telomeres extenders, right?
Well,
I'll tell you, et cetera.
It's not only...
But this is the thing. You know, that's great. If it works, by all means, we have no way of measuring it, really, because we're measuring it on white cells. But this is the interesting thing. Hormones have been around forever. Hormone treatments have been around for 50, 60 years. Why aren't we spending the money on them? Because the research on them shows beyond the promise. They actually have proof how well they work. But the reason they are controversial and the research money is not coming in, it's a problem. Because
yeah,
every time somebody
problem.
Does research, it is a big problem because it's a hole in the system.
I'll tell you something. I'll make a very funny,
yeah.
strange analogy here.
Okay.
Unfortunately, as always, we come to the end of our show and we really wish we had more time. It's like financial and gold. Gold is very
yeah.
important to have in your portfolio. But
right.
there have been so many scam artists that had to do with gold that financial advisors don't sell you gold. It's two different industries. They
right.
they shun it. And that's because
yeah.
they're afraid to get involved. Now, it's mm-hmm. very important to own it. Anybody who owns it knows they're happy today because when the stock market went down, their gold went up high. Same with hormones. Because
yep.
there have been people who told you to go get sheep hormones or whatever in Switzerland for...
Oh, my God, and they still do it. They
yeah.
still do it.
And they still do it. It's like a third rail. We don't go near it. So we have to be much, much more balanced about the way we look at healthcare
yes,
and innovation. So we thank you so much, Dr. Erica. We could go on and
thank
on.
Thank you, Adrienne. It
unfortunately,
was a pleasure.
I got to tell everybody I'm going to go now talk to my daughter, who's probably crying because of her cat. And if you were
I
listening
can
to
understand
the whole show.
That.
Yeah, because
sure.
listening to the
of
show,
course.
You know, she got bad. Her teeth were done. The anesthesiologist did a bad job and killed the cat. No joke.
Yeah.
But
no.
Worse is what Dr. Erica has illuminated in her book, Don't Let Your Doctor Kill You. Go on Amazon. You will be a much, much more informed patient. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thank you, Adrienne. It was a pleasure. A pleasure.
And you know what I tell
you
all?
Give your daughter a hug for me.
Hug, big hug for you, all the listeners, too. Get out there, kids, and make it happen.
Right.
I'm inappropriate.
Okay, so that's the show. I thank
that was
you
wonderful.
So
you're wonderful. I'm so sorry for your daughter. You know
yeah.
I totally get it. Go give
yeah.
her a big hug.
I will. I'm not going to.
It's horrible.
Usually I'd love to schmooze, but I'm not going to do it.
No,
because
don't
I,
worry.
I go.
Just go.
But what
go.
I'm
going to
send you is a big email with how you can use the show, where it's going to be heard.
Beautiful. Thank
a link,
you.
A link for your
don't
social
worry.
Media.
Yes.
And I'll send
yes.
you information about the MedObesity Conference. And we'll,
great.
I'm sure we'll see each other. Okay?
Okay. Take care.
Right.
Bye, Adrienne.
Thank you.
Bye.
The problem is that she thinks because of passing.